everybody. Welcome to a very special NBA edition of an Elite Fantasy Podcast talking NBA hoops. It is Saturday here, October 19th. We're just 3 days away from the start of the NBA regular season. Going to talk about some of my favorite players going in, or most interesting players, I'll say, going into the NBA regular season. I'm joined by a very special guest, Michael Gallagher of RotoWorld, to talk about some of his most interesting players heading into the 2019-2020 NBA season. Michael, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just enjoy the preseason. So much stuff to analyze, so much stuff to figure out. We saw a lot of guys were playing different positions and stuff. Just so pumped for the season start. But, yeah, it's definitely one of the best times to – for really all sports, right? Like, football's going down, baseball playoffs, just awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. The DFS schedule continues on as it always does. Seems like the finals weren't so long ago, but they're back. The NBA obviously has one of the longer seasons in U.S. sports, and I'm happy it's back. Baseball winding down, of course, just the World Series to go. And yeah, you've been running those season long streets. Of course, you do work over at RotoWorld. Give the people who may be unfamiliar with your work where to find you, what you do over at RotoWorld.
Yeah, so I'm Mike S. Gallagher. I'm on Twitter pretty much all day, every day. I will retweet more news than anyone doeth and try to analyze it when I can. Definitely follow me over there. And then on RotoWorld, I do a lot of the blurbs, do a couple columns. But yeah, love fantasy, man. I wish I want to get more involved in DFS. So that's why I'm kind of here. I wanted to network and talk to you guys.
Yeah, for sure. So for you guys that don't follow Michael Gallagher, make sure you do that on Twitter. He'll retweet a bunch of the beat writers, do a lot of the, you know, kind of work in the trenches for all that breaking news that leads up to NBA DFS. And you've been full on into NBA these last month or two. It's been kind of a slow go for me. This last week, been really diving into it, getting ready for the NBA DFS season. I don't play season-long NBA, so I don't need to know everything, you know, leading up into the preseason. But I'll be ready to go come Tuesday when the regular season starts. The format of the show, we're going to go kind of alternate going down our top 10 list of interesting kind of breakout players, players we think that maybe have a new role this year, and players to keep an eye out for the start of the NBA DFS season. Guys that could be very relevant early on, whether they're, you know, great plays or bad plays or underpriced or whatever it may be, just kind of a free-flowing podcast where we talk about 10 interesting players each. I'm sure we will have some overlap. I've been deep into your content, so some of the guys you've been talking about have kind of piqued my interest, and I've dug into those guys and, in general, agreed with most of your takes on the players leading into it. So with that, Michael, give me your number 10 player that you're looking at to start the NBA DFS season.
Okay, I thought we were going to go top to bottom, but
either way, man, you can throw it out
there.
Yeah,
well, let's just start up top. Let's just start with the meat of this. I know you and I want to talk about Carl Anthony Towns. Why don't we start with your best foot forward, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Carl Towns, obviously. The Wolves tender.
I didn't really rank him, per se, but I wrote him down first. I'm just fascinated by him. He did not disappoint the preseason. I know preseason stats are a little bit overblown, but 29, 10, 5 assists, 2.5 blocks, 4.1 trays. Just all season or off season, we heard him like, oh, yeah, he's going to be like the point forward as like Jokic. And like when you watch the Wolves preseason games, he is at the rim on defense, like right in front of the rim. And then on the offensive side, he's like right at the top of the key, having everything run through him, getting pinned down when he's not on top. Like, it's just everything's going to Cat. Even just today, Jeff Teague said he's not going to be 100%. So their point guard's dwindling in health already, and the season didn't even start yet. We know Roko's low usage. I think Wiggins' usage rate drops down. I think his rebounds are going to go up a little bit from playing close to the basket on defense. He's just in such a smash spot. Like I've really been saying all offseason, it's, I think 30, 15, and 5 is certainly doable. With a lot of threes, and really, I love pace. They finished in the preseason first in pace with the biggest increase. So, it's just all Cat all day. Like, he's going to probably hit, like, 12, 13K some days in DFS, and, like, I'll still play if it's the right matchup.
Yeah, absolutely made my list too. Probably my favorite player in the NBA overall, being a Wolves fan. He's had a, you know, a fantastic career so far, obviously still pretty young. And I'm on board with Cat probably having a career season. I think he was held back to some extent by Tom Thibodeau, who kind of runs that slow offense. Jimmy Butler was there obviously for a year and a half. And Towns, you know, he's only going to get better. I think he's got a, you know, a drive to improve. He can do everything offensively, like you mentioned. And I think, like you talked about, the increase in pace from the Wolves, the new coaching staff, all those things I think are going to improve Cat's game. We've seen him, I've heard some talk, some preseason stuff of him even like running some pick and roll as a ball handler. He can just do it all offensively. He's been criticized in the past for his defense, his rim protection. That's getting better year over year. And, you know, he's got the tools to do it, right, to be kind of the captain of the defense, massive rebounder. I think the blocks and steals could be there. So, yeah, I think it's kind of all hands on deck for Towns. You've mentioned he's your number one pick, I think, for season-long fantasy leagues.
Yeah, just because he's so reliable. The other guys are a little bit, you know, load management risk. And I still think Cat's not quite as good as maybe Harden and Curry, and maybe even AD to an extent if you factor in the box that are going to be there. But I just think Cat's so safe, man. Like, he almost died in a car crash to keep him out of games, and he had another minor injury. But before that, he didn't miss any games. And just to add to it, like he said, like you said, that backbone of the defense, like, he really counts on Roko to help him defensively. So I think that's big. And then I'll add, too, he said that he's only been held to 40% of his talent. He said that back in July. So, like, I don't know. I just think Cat's going to just go crazy this year.
Yeah, the sky's the limit for Towns. He's going to be the focal piece of that Minnesota offense. I think you're going to see Andrew Wiggins, like you mentioned, kind of fade into the background to some extent for the Wolves. He's just not any good, right? I think you're on board with that.
Sure.
Yeah, so Towns, all in on that. You know, you
quick
mentioned,
tangent, if I can. Keep an eye out for Jarrett Culver, especially with this Teague thing. He's been really running 1-3, a lot of ball-handling responsibility. So, really, if Teague, kind of the wheels fall off on him and Culver's cheap, like, plug him in, especially with this high-paced offense, I think he'd be really good.
Yeah, for sure. So, Towns, you know, you mentioned one of the reasons you like him so much for season-long purposes is his reliability. Obviously, that's not as important for DFS, but it's not something that I think we can completely overlook. With all the late scratches you see, FanDuel doesn't have late swap this year once again. And Towns is a guy that is never going to get late scratch, right? Like, before that car accident last year, I think he had played something like 200 consecutive games.
Yeah, he didn't miss any games. And I think he only went to the locker room like twice.
Yep.
Which is like a week for Anthony Davis. So
yeah, exactly. So doesn't get hurt, doesn't really get in foul trouble. He's never going to really let you down. He's never going to tank your lineup. And then I think his upside will be even higher this year than it has been in the past. So that's Karl-Anthony Towns. We're both on board. He should have a monster season for the Wolves, get some exposure to him early on in the DFS season. The next guy for me, after we cross Karl-Anthony Towns off of both of our lists, is Pascal Siakam, forward for the Toronto Raptors. Siakam, one of the most improved players last year. I don't know if he actually won most
he
improved.
He beat Andrew pretty handily.
Yeah, he deserved it because he just had a massive jump improving.
And just got a deal, by the way, 4 years, $130 million as we're recording this.
Yeah, you mentioned that as we in the pre-show, right as we jumped on. I was on Twitter. I didn't even see it, but Pascal Siakam basically got a max deal from the Toronto Raptors and totally deserved. He was one of my big hits last year, was very high on him coming into the year, and he was fantastic despite the Toronto Raptors adding a high-usage player in Kawhi Leonard to the lineup, who, you know, kind of plays a similar position at times to Pascal Siakam. So with Kawhi Leonard out of town, this should be the Pascal Siakam show. I expect him to make another leap, right? He made a huge leap last year, but I think we're going to see another one. He's been crushing it in the preseason, 26, 12, and 6 per 36 minutes, 3-point attempts up to 6.5 per game. This was a guy that shot 22% from 3 2 years ago. I think he was up to like 33%, something like that last year, but all systems go for Pascal Siakam, who can really do it all.
Yeah, and really one thing that was cool with him and Kawhi is his efficiency didn't drop when Kawhi was off the court last year, which I think is big. Some guys you see where you take the star off the court and they get the usage bump, but they get hurt in efficiency. Bradley Beal is another example. Like, without John Wall, he was just as good. So that's a really good thing. And another guy that we're going to talk about, I won't say his name yet, he brings the ball up off rebounds. And even really multiple times, I want to say about a month ago, and then just this week, the coach Nick Nurse said he's going to be our point guard sometimes. So, I mean, you love to hear that. This guy can pass. I mean, dating back to summer league like 2-3 years ago, you could just see him kind of develop so fast. And he just sees the floor so well. And just dating back to the postseason last year, he was like, yeah, I'm getting better every game. And, like, you could tell he meant it. He was – I mean, obviously Kawhi was great, and even someone voted for Fred VanVleet for all finals MVP. But Pascal, he's just so, so well-rounded. It'd be nice if he blocked a little bit more to get the 3 points on Fando or two on DK. But, yeah, like, it's going to be his show, man. He's just so much better in really every aspect. Just a total stat-stuffing guy. Almost like Cat-esque without the really high upside on rebounds and points. But, yeah, I really think he's going to have just a monster season.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if the defensive stats, the blocks and steals started to tick upward. Siakam is one of those guys that kind of got a late start to basketball. And I think as he just figures more and more things out as the game slows down for him further, even more than it already has, I wouldn't be surprised to see him get, especially steals, but maybe a few more blocks as well. So Pascal Siakam, I think, in store for another huge year for the Toronto Raptors. Let's talk about the Raptors just in general.
Yeah, I wanted to attack onto it.
Yeah, an interesting team. Won the championship last year with Kawhi Leonard, who obviously moved out to L.A. They re-signed Kyle Lowry. Like you mentioned, Siakam just got the big extension. Fred VanVleet is still there. OG Anunoby, I think, is a possible breakout candidate, almost made my list here. Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol also there, kind of splitting those center minutes. What are your general thoughts on the Raptors kind of early on? And do you think there's a chance they blow this team up at the deadline?
I think it's possible, but I think they're going to be pretty good. So if say someone gets hurt, like Lowry or something like that. But I think we had a really big takeaway yesterday in the dress rehearsal, and that's that really their first time through their rotation, they ran a 7-man rotation last night. So, like, you hear that, and your ears just perk up for really anybody that's in their entire rotation. They were subbing in. They basically subbed Gasol back in for VanVleet when he checked out. And they had Serge and obviously Norman Powell. So that was just those seven guys just soaked up the minutes the first time through. So I was like, oh, man, Raptors. And they're flying. They're playing one of the fastest paces in the preseason. I think they're second or third in biggest preseason boost for pace last year. Just usage around, obviously, without Kawhi Leonard. And Nick Nurse, man, he doesn't get enough credit. He's a really good X's and O's guy. He's going to get the most out of his players. So, yeah, I love OG. He scored 18 points last night, 15 in the first half, had another good game 2 games ago. They've really talked him up being, quote-unquote, a primary guy. And, I mean, don't forget, like, when he got over his ACL tear, everyone was like, whoa, this guy's super talented right out of the gate. Had some family stuff last year. He was hurt. He was sick in the playoffs, all this and that. So that really knocked him down, and I think he's kind of under the radar, but I don't think that's going to change for long. I think OG Anunoby is going to be a guy who goes from probably in the upper threes to quickly into the upper fives when people see how good he is and how much they're going to run through him. And he's just improved his shot. Just looks so much better. So I really like him. Just quick, too. Fred VanVleet, he just looks like a different player right now. Again, we saw him in the playoffs killing it. But he's just grown so much. I think Lowry's going to be a little bit limited. Possibly get some load management. Well, we know how the Raptors feel about that. Has a thumb issue too. So I think Fred VanVleet, he may not start every game. But even when he doesn't start, like, maybe people will freak out and not play him. But I would still play him. He's going to close. He's just really good. I'm just really high on those three in particular. Not too into Serge. And I think one other quick one is if Serge or Gasol sit, you're going to want to look at Chris Boucher, who is just a per-minute monster. Total stat-stuffing guy. So when one of those guys sits, which is going to be a lot. Like, I think probably over under 25 games, you would say, like, either Gasol and or Serge sit. So you get 22 minutes out of Boucher, and you're pretty much chilling at minimum price, I would say. But, yeah, so the Raptors are going to be really, really fantasy-friendly this year if they run seven, or maybe probably – they'll probably wind it to eight in their rotation. But, I mean, they're going to keep it pretty tight, which we'd love that.
Yeah, for sure, especially for DFS purposes. Those tech rotations are what you want to target. And I believe the Raptors play opening night, Tuesday, the 22nd, hosting
Zionless.
Yeah, hosting the Pelicans, who we expect to play at a breakneck pace as well. So if the Raptors are really going to play a 7 or 8-man rotation opening night, they're probably going to be a team that you want to get at least a few pieces of. I think it's just a 2-game slate to kick us off for the NBA. So that's the Raptors. That's Pascal Siakam. I'm with you. I think there's no reason for me the Raptors couldn't win the East if they stay healthy. And assuming they do stay healthy in the first half of the year, I'll be surprised if they blow it up coming off a championship, although their management obviously is aggressive and will make moves if they feel that's the right direction for the franchise. So that's Pascal Siakam. Why don't you give me another guy from your list?
I'm going to go with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's probably one of my two most talked about guys on my Twitter account.
We're three for three right now. I've got
okay,
him
I figured. I mean, we're not really being too sneaky here. No. Really, after the break, he just took off, especially without Lou Williams on the floor. He was 18-5-5 in his minutes without Lou Williams on a pretty decent sample. Scored a lot in transition, just kills at the rim. He's not even shooting the ball well in the preseason, like outside of the paint. But he's getting into the paint so much, no one could stop him, whether it be these obviously New Zealand breaker dudes or even like NBA players. He's just going around them. He's so long. He's so fast. His hands are so quick. His everything is just in motion so fluidly that you just love him. 29 usage rate in the preseason. He was only assisted 14.8% of the time. That's like some Russell Westbrook-like stuff, like Harden stuff. So that just shows you this guy is a straight scorer. Didn't really get to see that last year, and we're going to get to see it this year. 25 points per 36. Again, that's without his jumper even going down. So I think Shai is just all set. I do not care about Chris Paul and taking away assist opportunities because, I mean, if we're playing DFS, we want points, like points scored. It's pretty much half of the points in fantasy for DFS. So, yeah, I think he's got a shot at 20 points per game. I don't think that's too hot of a take. He steals pretty well. And this team is totally bereft of talent, really, besides once Chris Paul – sits, which you think they'd be super careful with him, given their stance. And we know Sam Presti doesn't really mess around with the way he wants to handle his team. Like if he has a plan, like he's going to go all out and do it. No half measures, as I like to say. Shout out Breaking Bad. But yeah, I'm sure. What do you think about Shai?
Yeah, no. So he was basically the centerpiece from the Paul George trade. Paul George out to the Clippers. Thunder got a bunch of stuff back, but I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is kind of the highest upside young player on their roster.
Let me add real quick, everything from the Clippers said they did not want to – they were like, no. They were trying to, like, make it go around for so long. And, like, we don't want to give up Shai, but, I mean, they had to do it to get the tandem that they had.
Yeah, so he wasn't super DFS relevant last year on the Clippers, but he did have a good rookie season, played, you know, like, 26 – minutes per game, 11 points, three assists, three boards, got some steals. As a 20-year-old rookie, like I think kind of like Pascal Siakam last year, he's one of my picks, my projections to really have a huge breakout season. I think the assists will be somewhat limited when he's playing with Chris Paul, but like you mentioned, both of us expect CP3 to sit a lot. The Thunder in general, are they shooting to make the playoffs? What do you think their plan is? Because if they're not, I think CP3 could just sit a lot of games, even when he's relatively healthy.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, just you have all those draft picks. I feel like your bed's kind of made, you know?
Right?
Like, and we're and Sam Presti's very much in the like I don't care about. I feel like he's not the kind of guy who's like, oh, we want to get in the playoffs. I feel like ownership trusts him enough to tank it up. He has a pretty long leash to do whatever he wants. So, yeah, I would think that Chris Paul, Gallo expiring, even Steven Adams, they may let him go. Kind of a super sneaky season-long last pickup would be Nerlens Noel, if you could stash him, just a quick aside on that. Mm-hmm. But, I just think it just makes no sense to go with this team the way it is. They would do anything they can to get off Chris Paul, even if they had to attach an asset, I think, to not stunt Shai. I thought that he was a little restricted for his minutes when he had him, CP3, and then Schroeder. I don't like that. Like, let that man roam around, man. Let him just ball out. So I think it makes sense to deal. Just I'll add to quickly playoffs, man. Like, Shai was so good. He was 14 points, 3 assists on good shooting against a really good playoff diet Draymond Green led Warriors defense. I just love Shai with all my heart this year. He's probably, I take him fourth round like all day and season long, just to throw that out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think he's going to be a quality play early on for his price, even when the Thunder have CP3 and Gallo in the lineup. But When Chris Paul sits, Kilgeous Alexander, he's going to be an absolute lock and load. He'll be the chalk for sure, but I think it's chalk that you're going to want to eat because he's going to have some huge games for the Thunder when CP3 does inevitably miss games. Let's move on to another young point guard, Ja Morant, who is going to be running
4 for 4.
Hopefully, we won't go 10 for 10 here.
We might.
I promise we didn't discuss these before the show. So, yeah, Ja Morant, the Memphis Grizzlies' top draft choice. They shipped Mike Conley out of 10. Obviously, Gasol's out. It's a new look Memphis team. Grit and grind is gone. Expect this to be a fairly fast paced team. Ja Morant, a stud in college. Kind of a do-it-all point guard. You probably know a little bit more about him than I have. I'm sure you've watched more preseason than I have on Ja Morant, but it seems like he's just going to get the reins for the Grizzlies, right? And they're going to let him make rookie mistakes. I'm sure he'll make plenty, but he does seem to me like a guy sort of like Trae Young last year that's going to immediately step in and be a big fantasy producer.
Even faster than that, like they weren't quite like, hey, Trae, go get him. They're doing that with Ja. Like, yeah. Even after knee injury, he just got cleared like 2-3 weeks, right before the preseason, like when he just got cleared, just as camp was starting. And just, I mean, that's just fascinating. Like, okay, point guard, hardest position in basketball. Okay, you didn't play any basketball until now. You're the starter. Go. And he's going. He's 19 points, 12 assists, 6 dimes in 87 minutes. That's per 36. Pace increase, again, a 13.4 increase in pace. That's the second biggest increase behind the Wolves in the preseason. Love that. They are running what they're calling, quote-unquote, a five-out offense, not to be confused with the air raid for the Cardinals, I guess. Yeah, like, it's same thing. Like, they're going to be dudes spaced out all around him. Kind of like what I was saying with Kat. Like, everyone just spaced out. He just goes by everybody. Super bouncy, just super-duper athletic. He's the key cog in their offense. I think Jonas Valanciunas' foot injury is not something to ignore. A side note, Brandon Clark, I love him. And, yeah, there's not too many other guys that are going to really dominate on the ball like Ja's going to do. So he's going to have a lot of – I think he's going to probably threaten Luka's triple-double numbers last year. And, again, it's just this offense is suited to him and Jaren Jackson Jr., who's also established a little bit rapport. I think Jaren Jackson Jr., by the way, will have a better season as well. So, yeah, like there's a lot of Grizzlies to like, just really those three in particular. And Clark, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Morant. I do want to see some Tyus Jones overlap. There was only a little overlap with him and Ja Morant. I know you and I are big Tyus guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and they're going to probably unload Jay Crowder. So that could possibly open up minutes. And also, I'll add, Kyle Anderson's hurt. He says he's not even healthy. So he had some kind of point forward minutes last year. It's going to be all Morant handling the ball. So, obviously, there's a high correlation between time possession with the basketball and fantasy points. So, yeah, like he's going to smash.
Yeah, just looking at this Grizzlies roster, it's just clear what they want. It's going to be the Ja Morant show. He's going to have the ball constantly in his hands. The assists, I think, this preseason, like you mentioned, what, 12 assists per 36 minutes? Yeah. Kind of just show he's not even shooting well, I don't think, but he shot pretty well at Murray State. I expect him to be a good shooter, or at least a passable shooter, enough to get up a high volume of attempts. So Ja Morant, my pick for Rookie of the Year, especially now that Zion – but maybe even over Zion, even if Zion was healthy. We'll see. Zion looks like he's going to miss a few weeks with a knee injury, unfortunately. So that's Ja Morant and the Grizzlies. I'm with you on Jaren Jackson Jr., expecting big things out of him as well, especially if guys like Kyle Anderson and Jonas Valanciunas miss time. All right, that's my Ja Morant. We'll throw it back to you for your next guy.
Another guy that's not surprising, Bam Adebayo.
Not on my list. I knew he was going to be on yours, so I left him off.
Okay, cool. So just preseason, he lit it up like we knew he was going to, per 36. And I think he's going to play like 34 minutes at least. So his per 36 were 17, 15, and 4, 2.4 blocks and a steal, and 118-minute sample, shot 51% from the field. Earlier in the preseason, he was getting a ton of free throws. He can shoot the free throws really well. So that's big to keep his efficiency nice and high. So, again, much like Kat, all offseason, buzz galore. He's going to handle the ball. Check. There were probably, I don't even know, I want to say 30 times he brought the ball out off a rebound in the preseason, maybe even more. Like he's, and this is with Jimmy Butler. This is with Dragic, with Winslow. This is with the first unit. So it's not with a bunch of scrubs. Again, the blocks are going to be great. His assists are going to be, I think, 3 or 4 a game. He's more polished offensively. That cold three-point thing I didn't really buy, and he doesn't really need to. So much high post action, passing out of it. He's pretty much like Cat without the scoring. It's kind of one thing I've been saying. I just love him. I think Miami's offense is going to be a lot of fun. They got a lot of decent guys around him. It's just going to go so much through Bam. Jimmy Butler will maybe dampen him a little bit. But even Jimmy, I feel like he even knows that he'll have like a one-on-one ISO, and he'll still throw it to Bam to kind of reset. So I just think Bam is going to be such a monster this year. Like, he'll probably – the prices aren't out yet, right, for the Wednesday stuff?
I don't think so. Yeah.
So it'll probably come out like 6K. I think he's going to probably get in like the mid-8s, man. I just think Bam's going to just be such a beast.
Yeah, I'm with you. Obviously with Hassan Whiteside out of town, we saw these last couple of years, anytime Whiteside would miss time, Bam Adebayo would typically become a very strong DFS play, and I think that's going to be the case all year long.
They really went a lot of small fours, especially last night in the dress rehearsal. A lot of airplane mode, Derek Jones Jr. at the four. They had started Myers Leonard, and they pulled him pretty quick. I think he played like 8 or 9 minutes or something. Olynyk still, I don't think, is it right. Not that I really care about that, but Spoelstra's really talked about this quote-unquote speed lineup. We like speed in fantasy, so definitely all in on Bam. Season-long through third round, I've been taking him. Like, I just love Bam.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's kind of an underrated talent. People don't realize just how good he is. And he's only going to continue to improve as well. So that's Bam Adebayo for the Heat, another guy to watch early on. He should be underpriced as the season kicks off. I'm going to throw the next two guys in there together, Draymond Green and Steph Curry for the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, a completely new-look Warriors team this year. Kevin Durant over to Brooklyn. He's hurt anyway, of course.
I have them on my list, too, by the way. So
yeah, I think it's we might as well package them together because we're just going to talk about the Warriors in general.
Yeah, I did.
And then Klay Thompson going to miss maybe the whole year, but for sure, you know, the first few months at the very least.
All-star break at minimum, that they said for sure. So he'll be probably best case, like March 1st, best case. So.
Right, so it's going to be the absolute Steph Curry and Draymond Green show to kick off the year. If you look at the numbers for Steph Curry last year when Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant are off the court, just absolutely absurd, right? The usage just goes through the roof. He's got the ball in his hands way more often. And in the preseason, we've seen that. Steph Curry threw four games, preseason games, playing 24 minutes per game and averaging 39.5 points per game. 13.6 three-point attempts per 36 minutes. He's kind of like the quintessential, you know, unselfish superstar, right? But he is literally, you know, maybe the best offensive player the league has ever seen. If you know, just offense.
I agree. I don't think that's a hot take at all.
Yeah, just with the shooting, his gravity, and everything. So, and now with those guys out of town, he's going to get to do it, right? We're going to see Steph Curry just completely unleashed every night. I mean, I think he's going to have many games this year where he scores 50 real points.
Mm-hmm.
The injuries are a concern, you know, from a season-long perspective. I don't expect him to play. You know, I'd be surprised if he got to even 70 games. But, man, when he's healthy, when he's out there, especially in good matchups, I think Curry – he's just going to go off every night.
Yeah, he can't be guarded, man. Like, he's – man, they put Kostas Antetokounmpo on him last night, and he just faked him out of his drop track to get a foul on a three. It's like, dude, come on, man. I mean, you knew Steph was going to roast you, but, yeah, you mentioned – to specifically, like, they were, like, past 2 years combined with Dre, without Klay and KD, he's at, like, 43 points per 36 on, mm-hmm. with, like, 8 threes or 9 threes. per 36, just fire away. You mentioned he has a 33 usage rate in the preseason, so that's not even that high. And he's still, like you said, dropping 40 points per 36 in the preseason. Running at a pretty quick pace in the preseason as well. He's at 114 pace in his 98-minute preseason sample, so we like to see that. Yeah, it's just all good. Like, him and D'Angelo look to fit pretty well so far together, but it's still Curry's show. D'Angelo, just a quick aside, he's going to have to really feast without Curry on the floor, although they're almost like a Harden and Westbrook for how high they're going to use the ball. Those two guys, we know Draymond, as good as he is, he's not a, you know, really a, even a 20 usage rate guy. And then Glenn Robinson's not going to shoot at all. Kevon Looney's going to probably be like 13, 14 usage rate, who I do like, by the way. And then Marquise Chris is another guy who had a killer preseason, by the way. If Looney's probably going to have some restrictions on him to start the season, given that he had, I think, April 5th, he had a hamstring tweak. But he was on a bike after that, and he's been practicing this week, so he should be fine. But Marquise Chris could be a super sneaky minimum guy to play in the first week of the season. But, yeah, I think Steph's just going to be ridiculous, man. You mentioned, like, per game, he's probably going to be – and I think Zach Lowe said that he's probably the favorite to lead the NBA for points, the points crown, which I agree with. I think he's going to score so many points. But you mentioned he's going to sit a lot. So, really, in those back-to-back sets with the no late swap, even though the NBA is trying to crack down on the shadiness of sitting guys, I feel like he's going to bite people at least once or twice.
Yeah, no, I think he will for sure. And we'll see. What's the rule that NBA is supposed to give their lineups? What is it, half an hour before?
Yeah, 30 minutes before. It sounds legit. So Terry Stotts is the guy who plays hide your lineup. You know, that we always hear like, oh, it's on the scoreboard, and it's wrong like 90% of the time. So he even said like, yeah, it's going to be a level playing field. It sounds like everyone's going to abide by it. So I'm kind of buying that, which is great. Especially before lock, you kind of have a little bit of time to tinker around for those early games.
Yeah, so that's Steph Curry. You know, you take like the on-court, off-court numbers with some players, especially like big men, and it's like, oh man, if this guy just got 30 minutes a game without these guys on the court, he would be the best player ever. And you can't always project guys like that, but Curry is one where I think you can. I think the numbers for him on the court with Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson off, I think Curry can sustain those numbers.
He's showing it right now, right?
Right, right. I mean, it is the preseason. But, yeah, I expect huge things from Curry. I'm glad you're on board with that.
Yeah, just to click on Draymond, he's already started his playoff diet.
That's the big thing for me with Draymond, right? He was so out of shape. He was fat last year coming into the season. And for the first really couple of months before he dropped, like 20 pounds, I think, during the season.
Yeah, like in the last month and a half or so.
Yeah, his play really picked up. He looks in shape to me, just watching him play a little bit. So I'm expecting big things out of Draymond Green. I don't know if the usage is going to go up a ton, but I do think, you know, the assists, the rebounds, I just think he's going to have a bigger role on this team than he had most of last year. And then you throw in the fact that he should be effective right out of the jump, as he's in shape coming into the year. I think we're going to see triple double Draymond Green kind of back in the fold early on.
Yeah, playoff Draymond last year, 22 game sample. They went to the end.
Right.
13 points, 10 boards, 8.5 dimes, 1.5 steals, 1.5 blocks. That's 43 FanDuel points right there.
Right.
So you don't care if he scores like 17, 18, 19. He's just going to fill it up everywhere else. So, yeah, another guy, just like lock and load early in the season, he's just going to be a really, really valuable player. Their schedule is pretty soft to start the season, too, for the most part, too. So, yeah, Draymond's going to have some killer games.
He wouldn't be one that I would really expect to play better without Steph Curry on the court, right? Is that kind of your take there?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot, you know, usually when you get kind of the two stars of a team, you take one off and the other's going to benefit, but that's not really Draymond Green's game. But I think I would almost rather prefer to have Curry out there just because I think the team will play much better as a whole when Curry is on the court. So that's Draymond Green, Steph Curry, the two Warriors studs I think are going to have big years.
What do you think about D'Angelo real quick? Do you have any thoughts on him?
That was my question.
Okay.
I don't know what to expect from D'Angelo Russell. I'll probably be taking a wait-and-see approach a little bit for DFS purposes.
Yeah, so he's a real weird fit, right? A guy who was top three in pick-and-roll ball-handling possessions. Warriors don't run that stuff. Just a lot of different things. He was one of the top guys for most shots off three-plus dribbles last year. Warriors, we've heard Kevin Durant say they're a pass-happy offense. And so far, he hasn't really been, playing in their style of play. He's been unassisted 77% of the time, which is actually trending down. He was, like, tied in the highest in the league on Monday, I believe, when I looked it up. So the last two games, he's kind of come back to earth. So he's starting to fit a little bit, which we like to see. So I'm not all in, but I was all out on season-long drafting him, but now I'm kind of coming in here. It looks like he's fitting better, which we knew was going to take some time, and it's kind of coming before we thought. So I think D'Angelo is going to be pretty valuable, more so in DFS because he's going to be a big scorer. And this team, I mean, they have nobody, man. Like,
right.
They're going to have Glenn Robinson, Jordan Poole, Jacob Evans, and, like, there's really nobody else. Alec Burks when he comes back from injury, and that's, like, it. for their backcourt rotation. So those guys are going to have to do some serious heavy lifting.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be an interesting fit between him and Steph Curry in the backcourt. I think that the defense could potentially really suffer, the guard defense, when both of those guys are playing heavy minutes together. And the big thing, when Steph Curry does inevitably miss some games, we should see big games out of D'Angelo Russell. So that's something to keep an eye on. And, you know, just a DFS strategy thing, when the Warriors are on the West Coast on FanDuel and we don't know, and Steph Curry is questionable, that'd be a time when maybe I would just risk it with D'Angelo Russell and get him in my lineup and hope that Curry sits, because he's probably going to have huge games whenever Curry is off court. So that's Draymond, Steph. That's the Warriors. I'll throw it back to you for your next guy.
I'll just add quickly, in 50 minutes without – uh-oh, dog bark. 50 minutes without Curry, D'Angelo's at 32 points per 36 versus 20 without, which is still pretty good. Next guy, another – I'm going full brand again. I'm going Caris LeVert. I'm all day – I love Caris. Really big preseason per 36, 24-7-9. Keep in mind this was mostly – without Kyrie. Kyrie had a big game last night, super high usage from Kyrie. So his on-off splits are going to be a little bit skewed. But this is Kyrie's first game as a net at Barclays. We know Kyrie likes to be a bit of a showman at times, so I don't really factor in the splits that you're going to see. It's like a 10 usage rate difference with Kyrie on and off. I think it'll be probably like 4 or 5. But Kyrie is really good off the ball, and I don't think that gets talked about enough. Maybe it does with LeBron and stuff, but I think it's going to really play in Caris LeVert's hands. Coach Kenny Atkinson loves LeVert. Says he has he's desperate to be great. He called him their best player in the playoffs last year when he, you know, he was really bad coming into it, and he had took a couple months to really get over that leg injury, which happened in Minnesota. Were you at that? You go to a lot of Wolves games, right? Were you at that one or no?
Not last year, yeah, because I was out here in Denver now. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's okay. Yeah, so I think LeVert's gonna have a huge season. I love this Nets offense to suit him really well. It's pretty, again, this is another like 2-star offense. I don't really see – Joe Harris is not a big volume guy. Taurean Prince isn't a big volume guy. Kuroots, the big men don't shoot a lot of shots. So I think that both Kyrie and LeVert can sustain some really valuable numbers. Preseason, it's just a 69-minute sample, but dropping 56 points per 36. So I think he's going to be scoring a lot of 40-point DFS games, maybe 50 even more times. And he'll have a couple big blowups. This guy could just score every which way. He's so shifty and so crafty. I just love Kyrie's LeVert this year.
Yep, a guy that just missed my kind of top 10 list here. Right. He's been a guy that I've been pretty high on these last couple of years and expecting big things here. What are your thoughts on the Nets in general? They've been kind of a frustrating team over the last couple of seasons under Kenny Atkinson, playing just, you know, oftentimes the 10, 11-man rotation. Obviously, big changes this year, acquiring both Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Durant going to miss most of the season, if not all of the season. Do you think that's going to change for the Nets? Do you think LeVert's going to get, you know, 32-plus minutes on most nights?
I do. So last night they had their quote-unquote dress rehearsal, and they ran it 10-man with two of their guys being Garrett Temple and David Nwaba backing up Caris LeVert and Joe Harris, respectively. I don't really see much depth outside of those 10 guys, and it's not like they're going to run Caris, Dinwiddie, and Kyrie together a lot. We saw that happen a bunch. So there's not too much to worry about. Even if they do go 10, 11 deep, I will add that Dazan Musa has made a little bit of a splash, and Kenny Atkinson did throw in at the end of his press conference yesterday. He was like, oh, yeah, he's almost creeping into the rotation. So if somebody sneaks in, it'll be him. But, I mean, that's going to affect, like, that would affect, like, Nwaba or Garrett Temple or somebody like that. So I don't really think that it's going to affect those studs. We know that their centers are going to split. Atkinson said yesterday it'll be a hot hand approach, which we hate in fantasy for who guards who. But I feel like we're probably smart enough to know which matchups are good and bad for Jared Allen. You know, he's really bad against like the Drummonds and the Embiids and the big body dudes, where like that's kind of like DeAndre Jordan's calling card, is to slow those dudes down. So I think we could kind of figure out what it's going to be. But I do still do like Jared Allen. I think he's going to have a pretty good season. But, yeah, I feel like this rotation will be a little bit sturdier than we've seen in years past.
Yeah, I think Kyrie and LeVert are the two guys that you can really hopefully really rely on for the big minutes early on. We'll see.
And Kyrie misses games a lot. Before last year, he missed 25 games per season. That dropped a little bit last year, but so it's still probably ballpark at probably like low 20s.
Yeah, and you'd expect LeVert to get a pretty big bump with Kyrie Irving off the court when Kyrie Irving misses games. So that's something to keep an eye on, but I like LeVert anyway out of the gate for the Nets. Next guy on my list, another superstar here, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Obviously had the monster.
Not on my list for the first time.
Yeah, had the monster year last year. Averaged over 30 points per 36 minutes. Rebounds were up to nearly 14 assists, 6.5 per 36 minutes. Kind of had the disappointing end to the playoff run for the Bucks. People forget, I think, Giannis is only 25 years old. His points per game, or points per 36 minutes, rather, over the course of his career, he started as a 19-year-old per 36, 10, 14.6, 17.2, 23.2, 26.3, and then last year, 30.4. The rebounds essentially going up every single year of his career per 36, right? This is not just more minutes. He's been better and better per minute. I think he's got another leap left in him, which sounds absurd given the monster year that he had last year. The three-point percentage can still go up. Only shot 26% on threes from last year. He's shooting a much higher volume of them so far in the preseason. And to me, the jumper looks okay. I expect those to improve to some degree. So especially with kind of the better end to the Bucks in his season last year, I think there's one more jump left in Giannis's game. So far, at least in the preseason, that's shown out. He's played in three games, but he's averaging per 36, 42 points per game, 18 rebounds, shooting 5.6 three-point attempts per 36 minutes, and getting to the line 12 times per 36 minutes so far in the preseason. I know he's been, you know, he was awesome last year, but another guy that kind of, you know, came into basketball late, a little bit of a late bloomer in terms of what he was ready to do in the NBA. Man, he's just such a freak, obviously, and I wouldn't be surprised if he backs up last year with an even better year this year.
Yeah, just a quick little story. So at RotoWorld for the draft, I usually spend a lot of time making sure we're prepared to post everything super quick. And when Giannis got drafted, there was a whole big deal about, like, there were like two different ways to spell his name that was going around about, like, no one knew how to, like, no one was for sure how to spell his last name. And we had to like switch it back and forth like three or four times. So I always think of that whenever people talk about, like, he's like such off the radar. Like, he's really one of two guys where I would prepare for so long. I'm like, whoa, who the, you know, Conor McGregor, who the ugh is that guy? Other one being Bruno Caboclo, by the way. But yeah, and you missed the 5.1 dimes, 2.0 steals, 2.0 blocks per 36 in preseason. He is your preseason usage rate leader, which I love. Pace is up. Everything is up. And you just watch this offense. Like, it's just Giannis, man. Like, I actually knocked Chris Middleton down, Bledsoe down. I knocked these guys down in fantasy just because I think Giannis is going to go berserk this season. So, like, he's probably going to be the number one guy. I didn't put him on my list because I thought we kind of, like, knew this. But, yeah, like you said, the stats show he is ready for another leap, and he is going to be ridiculous. We know he doesn't play too many minutes. And he may sit a little bit later in the season if the Bucks are going to be as good as everyone thinks they are. But even in like 32 minutes or whatever, he's still going to be pretty close to the top scorer in fantasy.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds kind of crazy to project improvement from last year's numbers given just how elite they were. But when a guy has improved, you know, six or seven straight years every year, I think the crazier thing would be to not project improvement from what he put up. So expecting an MVP, obviously, type year from Giannis. Again,
one
he has
more
one
news and note, if I can add to it before we jump along. He said he's only playing at 60% of his potential himself. And, yeah, like you said, he's still 24, man. So he's still not at, quote-unquote, peak basketball performance, especially when it took him so long to get here. So I think the best is yet to come.
Yeah, he is going to have some monster games. And I think especially, you know, these preseason stats, obviously they don't, you know, it's a small sample size and it's the preseason, but you can kind of tell who's ready to go, right? Who's ready to dominate right out of the blocks. And Giannis certainly on the short list. So that's Giannis. Everybody knows he's awesome, but I expect even better performances from him this year. Who's your next guy?
I'm going to go another guy who people may expect. I want to talk some Pelicans. So let's go Drew Holiday. I've said this many times. My favorite offseason quote is David Griffin saying the Pelicans are going to run a create and terminate style of play. And we've really seen that, especially earlier before Zion was around. They were really pushing the ball. And Zion's still only out a few weeks. So it's not like, oh, my God, the Pelicans are going to change their identity. I don't think they're going to. They have slowed down the past couple games, but they're still going to run. Drew is getting so many transition points, and that was really what took him to another level after AD. Like, they really slowed down around AD when AD's out there. So I think Drew's going to really step it up. He's scoring, I believe, 27 or so per 36 in the preseason. Just has the ball in his hands a lot. Gets going early, gets going often. And even without Zion, that may even help him. We know J.J. Redick's one of the most assisted players in the NBA, so that's potentially more assists going in their offense. Great steals numbers. He blocks better than most smalls. I think he's going to get to the line a little bit. We haven't really seen his three-pointer click, which it could. I saw many, many videos of him just, like, crushing threes, which hashtag, you know, grainy videos. But, yeah, I think Drew's going to be great. I think Lonzo's going to be better than we think. Brandon Ingram was phenomenal last night as a four-man. We always thought he could always kind of do it if he bulked up. But David Griffin says he's going to be, you know, a great fit for the system. And I'm kind of buying it. So I just think the Pelicans are going to play fast. And there's just going to be so many nights where we're going to want to target Pelicans games. So I think Drew is going to have one of the best, you know, fantasy seasons, and a guy that I'm going to be looking to play a lot in DFS just because there's going to be so many high-scoring projections on that team.
For sure, yeah. Drew, I think, still kind of underrated by the DFS community. Do you think Zion being out these first couple of weeks at least helps Drew a bunch?
I don't. I think it's kind of a wash.
Yeah.
Like, I think he may get a little bit of a usage bump, but I think just the style of play with getting so many easier buckets in transition and stuff, like, I think that's kind of a fair swap. So, yeah. But I guess it gives him a higher ceiling because we know usage rate higher ceiling, but his efficiency should take a hit because just Zion is – that guy just runs around like a maniac, man. I love his hair on fire. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, Zion's super fun to watch. Hopefully the injury doesn't – I'm a little worried about his kind of long-term future with the knee injuries. That's obviously had one at Duke last year. Now he's got another one. It's almost like concerning that they're like not like quote-unquote real knee injuries. It seems
Yeah, I watched the whole second half of the last game, and I was like trying to find something, you know, like, oh, did he tweak something? Oh, did he have like a little knee flex? I didn't find anything. So, yeah, I think it's just like, I don't know. And someone tweeted me, which makes a lot of sense. Like, the Pelicans should just hire somebody, like some super sharp dude, just to like work with Zion and his body type and make sure everything's like engineered the way he is to be, you know, shaped the way he should be. Because, I mean, we've never seen anybody at his size just be so freaking athletic that you think it's just going to be tough on your joints and stuff. So,
yeah, you might need, need to drop a little weight in the long term.
Yeah. There were all those jokes in the summer league with people making food joke names and stuff. But, yeah, he's such a freak. I really hope he's okay. He's just so good for the league, man. Like,
for sure.
All the preseason highlights were just insane. Like, he's just,
yeah, like, he's going to be awesome if he can stay healthy, for sure. So that's Drew Holiday. I'm with you. Going to be a beast for the Pelicans. I think, he plays opening night in Toronto. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see.
High-paced game, man. That game's going to be a fun one.
It is a tough matchup for Drew, but he's obviously good enough to overcome any matchup there. So moving on to my list, I've got Dejounte Murray here for the San Antonio Spurs. Missed the entirety of last year with an injury. Was kind of somewhat of a breakout player the year before that, and was a popular breakout pick for the Spurs before he got hurt. Coming back for his age 23 season here. Last time we saw him two seasons ago for the Spurs, averaged 13 points, almost 10 rebounds per 36, good assist numbers, 5 assists per game, and then he's a defensive contributor to steals and blocks. He's looked really good this preseason. Obviously, the Spurs do have some mouths to feed in LaMarcus Aldridge and DeRozan, but still, I think we're going to see a big year out of Dejounte Murray, and we know the Spurs love to sit their veterans, let rest their veterans. Anytime Murray's got the show, especially when DeRozan sits out, I think we're going to see some huge games out of him.
Yeah, we saw that in Houston this week, right, when DeMar sat out and Dejounte just put on a show, man, just all sorts of highlights. I posted on Twitter that it got a bunch of retweets when he took a hard and push off, reestablished himself and still made the stop, ran the other way and got the bucket. Like, that's Dejounte Murray.
Right.
He had over two steals per game this after the break. His last year he was healthy. And you mentioned the Spurs don't hype up dudes. This is, like, their thing. And they hyped up DeJounte so much last year. And, like, and you mentioned he had so much hype. I remember I put him at 49th in my season ranks the day before he got hurt, and I was like, oh yeah, DeJounte's gonna go off and ACL's here. But yeah, he's so good. I didn't put him on my list because I'm a little bit worried about how he can get enough points in DFS.
Yeah,
he does have discouraging splits so far with DeRozan. Only 10 points per 36. We're only talking about 50-minute samples here, 5-0, but 10 points with, 26 points without. That's kind of something to keep an eye on. Again, that's because of the Houston game he went off, obviously. But, yeah, he can score better than we think he can, and he's just – when he gets a ball, if he gets, you know, two – I think he can get even 2.5 steals, like Oladipo style, because he's so long, he's so quick, and he just takes contact so well that, you know, all those steals are going to get him so many easy buckets the other way. So I really like him a lot. I'd love him for season long for the steals numbers, but
right. You know, yeah, the worry with him is the usage rate, right?
Yeah.
When Murray and or when DeRozan rather and Aldridge are out there, so he is going to be a guy. That's kind of why I included him on my list because I think he's going to be one of the players that benefits the most when his star teammates sit out. So that's going to be something to watch for the Spurs. But
and also too. We don't really know yet. Like, he just got over this ACL tear, so maybe they are going to ease him long offensively. But all signs indicate he's going to be ready to go. Just one other quick note I wanted to add. Derek White and DeJounte had zero overlap in the preseason. So, like, Derek White, as good as he was last year, he's DeJounte's backup.
Yeah, and we could see kind of limited minutes for DeJounte Murray out of the gate. You know, 25, 30 minutes wouldn't shock me. So we'll see. He's one to keep an eye on, especially, of course, if anything happens to his teammates or if they get the load management going in San Antonio.
Pretty good rebounder too, by the way, is what you're mentioning.
Yeah, no, absolutely excellent rebounder. I think he'll get some triple doubles this season for sure.
I do. I think so too.
I've just got one more guy on my list. How many do you have left?
I don't know. I got Harden and Westbrook kind of tandem, and then I got two more, it looks like.
Okay, so yeah, let's talk about Harden and Westbrook then. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm 0.0% concerned about James Harden. We saw that yesterday. He dropped 44 points in a preseason game. So
he's just going off, man.
Yeah, like he doesn't care for your and like there's nobody good like no besides him and Westbrook, like nobody's gonna shoot the ball. Like, okay, Eric Gordon may get like 9 shots a game or something like that. But after that, like Capella is only gonna get dunks. PJ Tucker, I think, was 4th lowest usage rate of all time for the guy that played as many minutes as he did. it's probably gonna be even lower this year. Daniel House doesn't shoot. Like, it's just gonna be those two dudes. I think 8 times a century, 2 teammates have had a 30-plus usage rate. It might be 35s for both. Like, I still think Harden's going to get 35 usage rate. May not get to 40 and score 36 again, but maybe he will. You look at the splits. 113 minutes without Westbrook per 36, 42 points, 9 boards, 14 assists, 1.9 steals. It's just insane, dude. And then even with him, 34, 6-6, 3.6 steals. That's in 61 minutes. So yeah, we're talking about, you know, 170 minutes, but like, come on, man. If just turn on the tape, like, he's just insane. So he's gonna have so many of those games where he's dropping 50-point triple doubles. What him and Westbrook have like 80% of the 50-point triple doubles in NBA history, or something like that. And he's gonna get more of them. Westbrook also, by the way, again, second time this week, dislocated his hand. So it's kind of something to keep an eye on. His numbers are a little bit stark of a difference. With how he and Westbrook, he and Harden are doing, like, it's a bigger difference. Like, you could see he's not going to be as good with Harden on the floor. It's like still Harden's show. And then again, pace. They have the 3rd biggest bump up in pace compared to last year in the preseason. Last year in the regular season, which has been the talk all along. The first post game interview that Harden gave for the preseason game was like, "Oh yeah, we're playing a lot faster," and you could see it. I haven't looked it up in a couple of days, but Westbrook was running at like 125 pace without Harden on the floor. So I still think he's going to be all right. Not as good, obviously, but yeah, just Harden's going to be just insane, dude. If he's somehow cheaper than he was last year, if like DK and FanDuel are factoring that into the Westbrook thing, just plug him in there and just enjoy the 65, 70 fantasy points he's going to put up.
Yeah, I don't think it, you know, we saw last year Harden's numbers improved when Chris Paul missed games. I think you'll see a similar thing with Russell Westbrook, but Harden's still going to be fantastic when Westbrook is on the floor. It's interesting, like CP3, you know, obviously somewhat in decline, but still a very good player with the ball in his hands. But if you're the Rockets, like, it doesn't really make sense to take in the half court to take the ball out of James Harden's hands to give it to Russell Westbrook, who is you know, frankly, just not a good shooter. He's fairly inefficient, and Harden, one of the most efficient scorers in the league. So I still think you're going to see James Harden running the show, even when Russell Westbrook is on the court. And I assume that they're going to stagger these guys' minutes. Obviously, they're going to play together at the beginning, you know, the beginning of each half, at the end of games, at the end of each half. But I assume that one or the other will always be on the court.
Yep. Take a step further. D'Antoni said he wants two of Harden, Gordon, and Westbrook on the floor at all times.
Okay.
So something to keep an eye on there.
Yeah, so James Harden, he's just having a monster preseason, locked and loaded.
Yeah, just to put it quick, and we haven't talked, do you have Anthony Davis on your list or no?
I don't, no.
I don't. I guess just quickly. So, like, the top five dudes, the four guys we've already talked about, and Anthony Davis, like, I feel like we love Jokic and, you know, LeBron will have his big games. I just feel like there's a little bit of a gap there for how much monsters those five guys are to me. I don't know if you have anybody you think is almost at their level.
Yeah, no.
I would say Drummond's probably the closest. I think Drummond's going to be insane.
Yeah, Drummond didn't make my list, but contract year, right, for Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin already dealing with some injuries. So
yeah, they already said they're going to rest Blake Griffin. They're going to lower his usage rate. They're going to allow Drummond to run, have the offense run through him more, bring the ball up off rebound. Again, I love bigs off the rebound pushing it, so that's something to watch too. So another kind of honorable mention just to tack it
on. Yeah, for sure. I think Andre Drummond probably in line for a career year here as he looks for that.
20-19 without Blake, by the way, per 36 last year.
That'll work. So that's Andre Drummond. Didn't make our list, but good to talk about anyway. The last guy on my list is Kristaps Porzingis, who missed, obviously, a bunch of time. Did he miss the entire year last year?
Yes.
Yeah, missed the entire year last year for the Knicks.
Was out since January, so he's going on like 20 months now.
Yep. But so he's got the injury concerns for sure, but he looks healthy right now, at least for the Mavericks. Interesting stuff for him. The 3-point attempts, I think, are the most interesting thing that I saw for Kristaps. 11 3-point attempts per 36 minutes in the preseason, playing some decent minutes too. Looks like, 23 minutes per game, which is about as high as most players get during the preseason. And the rebounds are way up, 15 rebounds per game in those roughly 100 minutes that he's seen so far. Maybe a somewhat rejuvenated Kristaps Porzingis. Obviously, you know, the blocks are likely to be there as well, kind of a do-it-all player. I think we'll see some big games out of him in Dallas. Really interested to see the synergy he has with Luka Doncic, obviously, who's had a huge year. And thoughts on Kristaps, and we'll throw Luka in here too, because I'm interested.
Yeah, definitely.
Can he improve on last year?
I think he can. Hashtag skinny Luka is a thing on the interwebs. He looks a lot better. He's definitely the whole big goal was even Carlisle and Cuban over Summer League were saying, like, he's got to get in better shape. We got to get him to 34 minutes a game and make
a little bit doughy last year, Luka.
Yeah. And he was hurt a lot. Every little hits, he took on so much contact and he had so many little like knee dings. Both his knees were on the injury report for the last like month of the season, multiple times, just from, I guess, not being fit enough. I'm not smart enough to know why, but like it was a clear trend that he was getting hurt a lot late in the season, whether it be wearing down or whatever. But point being, he needs to get in better shape, just at 32 minutes per game. So you project him at 34, I would say. So, and I mean, these two guys are insane with usage rate. I think they're both top 10 in the NBA in usage rate. And much like with Westbrook and Harden, there's nobody around these dudes that's going to fill it up. Like, DeLon doesn't shoot a lot. Obviously, Dwight Powell doesn't shoot a lot. Maxi Kleber's super low usage rate guy. Justin Jackson. Keep Tim Hardaway away from those dudes. Just put him on the bench, let him do his work there. But, yeah, again, I think both these guys are going to have huge usage rates. I think his assist numbers are going to be pretty good. Again, with the three-pointers, they're shooting, I think, almost, I want to say, 38 threes per game in the preseason. That's really been a big talking point for them. Kind of like the Wolves, right? They're kind of just really trying to open it up and live on three-pointers, let their stars create and open up the floor for everybody. So, yeah. And again, these two guys, even when they're together, they're just putting up shots. I think the first two or three games, it was the first game, they had like the two of them, when they were on the floor, it was like 80% usage rate for just those two dudes. And I expect that again. So, yeah, big, big numbers when they're on the court. But we're not expecting Kristaps to play in back-to-backs.
Right.
He's going to sit any small detail. And obviously the ACL tears a thing, but I think he's played one April game his entire career. Ever since Summer League, he's had injury issues with his legs, which makes sense. I mean, the guy is literally not literally a unicorn, but we literally call him a unicorn because of how he's built. And you know, all those long limbs and the way he plays, he puts him at risk. So he's going to be a guy that's going to be probably going to the locker room a lot. And I think he's going to miss – I said on my pod, the over-under, I think it's like 58 games to me. I didn't miss a lot of games, but when he's playing, he's going to smash.
Yeah, not a guy I would necessarily draft in season-long if I was playing season-long, but I think for DFS purposes, like you mentioned, when he is, you know, coming off a couple of days rest and doesn't play the next day, you know, when he's got kind of an island game, I think you can give him a bump in both efficiency and especially minutes, obviously. It's just the big thing is just all the three-pointers I think he's going to take. Like, if they're really going to unleash him to, you know, kind of in that pick-and-pop with Luka, like, there's no – you can't, like, stop him from taking a three-pointer, right? So if that's the map –
shoots over everybody, yeah.
There's nothing a defense can really do about it. And we saw in New York, and we've seen in this preseason, like, he'll take it from a, you know, couple steps outside the arc too. So if he's really going to bomb away, when he gets hot from three and you throw in, you know, the blocks and the rebounds, I could see some monster games out of him where he puts up, you know, 30 real points, 15, 20 rebounds and a couple blocks.
For sure.
And could be the play of the night when he's healthy and ready to go. So Kristaps Porzingis, the last guy on my list. Sounds like you've got maybe one or two more.
I got kind of a team just because it's such a mess. I do want to talk some Charlotte Hornets. Is that okay?
Yeah, I suppose we'll.
All right. So perhaps the biggest preseason winner as far as guys who earn minutes. I didn't mention Nickeil Alexander-Walker when we talked about Pelicans. I'm kind of ashamed of that. But the other really big winner is PJ Washington. So I think Nick Batum probably got Wally pipped here. He was going to start. He was starting. Hurt his Achilles. This is not the same Achilles that kept him out last year. So this old dude, Batum, has both his Achilles banged up on a team that's tanking that is gunning for the number one seed or number one pick in the lottery more than anybody else, I would say.
Not the number one seed.
Right. Number one lottery spot. Excuse me. Number one seed to plant a tree and have their team grow, that kind of seed.
There you go.
Okay. So I think PJ Washington, he looks really good. A lot of nice, really one dribble drives. He's good around the rim, decent rebounder. I love position flexibility, and Borrego says he wants to play him 3-5. I think he has enough size to do that. Real, real bouncy. He's had that foot injury, didn't see him in summer league, but I mean, he has just blown me away with how good he looks. So he's kind of off the radar. He's going to probably start. I'd be pretty surprised at this point. Even Rick Bonnell tweeted after I tweeted it. He said that he expects PJ Washington to start too. So, yeah, big, big minutes. They're going to open up the floor a little bit. I think he's going to be really solid. And there's other guys too. Like Dwayne Bacon, I think, is going to have a pretty good usage rate. Going to be a little bit empty. But I think he's going to score in the teens. So he could be, you know, in those right kind of matches where you're stacking games. Maybe the Hornets and the Hawks, you know, Hawks aren't going to be that great, but they're going to play fast. So like, you're going to want to sneak Dwayne Bacon in your lineup a couple times. I feel like that'd be a good move. And then Miles Bridges as well, like another guy who has shot like garbage, but he's straight Morey balling it right now. He's going all threes and all 8 feet in, which we'd like to see. His has 2.0 blocks in his last four games, average that is. And Terry Rozier actually has been looking pretty decent too. He's going to be a disaster in efficiency, but the volume will be there. Quick note, Borrego said they will monitor his minutes in back-to-back sets. So Borrego said he'll play him 34 minutes per game. But just remember, if it's a back-to-back set, you may want to dampen your expectations a little bit. And there's really nobody at the five. So all these perimeter dudes are going to get shots. And even Malik Monk actually looked pretty decent the last couple games too, but we know he's just such a headache. So maybe like a GPP play in one of these stackable situations. But as bad as they are, there's actually a decent amount of fantasy value, I think, to be had, especially in DFS on this team.
Yeah, that's the thing about NBA, DFS, and fantasy in general. It's kind of different from baseball and football, where like the truly horrible teams in MLB and NFL, you can kind of ignore for the most part just because they don't score any points.
I'm starting Preston Williams this week, so I hope.
Yeah, I haven't played a Dolphin yet in DFS this year. We'll see if I can make it the whole year without playing any Miami Dolphins. But the NBA is different, right? The Hornets, as bad as they're going to be, likely number one pick, likely worst team in the league, they're still going to put up, what, 85, 90 points per game on average, and obviously someone's going to get those statistics.
Yeah, I think they'll probably be in the, you know, 94, 95 ish.
Yeah.
But everyone's just because everyone's playing faster and all this and that. So
exactly,
yeah, they're gonna be horror. And they're gonna get blown out so much. And actually, just one other quick stat. I just love this stat. So they're not gonna play in the clutch much. But last year, Kemba Walker had like a 45 clutch usage rate. Terry Rozier 6% last year, and I think their team leader currently on the team is Malik Monk at like 17%. So it's just a crazy overhaul to take really their two best players in Lamb and Kemba to go to this mess. Like we're really talking about Dwayne Bacon and these other dudes being scorers is where that pretty much sums up the Hornets.
For sure. It'll be interesting to see. They're going to be a team to watch to see where the minutes go and how hard they embrace the tank early on. So
they are.
Yeah, they're going to embrace it, but we'll see what the – like I could see them being super frustrating with the minutes, you know, like not playing – like we saw it with the Hawks sometimes last year where they would – it seemed like – or at least early on, where it seemed like they were like almost trying to lose games. But anyway, so that's the Hornets. Anyone else on your list or anything else you want to talk about?
That's all I wrote down, but I mean, I could talk about anybody you want. So anything you want to
Yeah, that's mostly it. What about the Celtics? Now that you kind of, you know, with the Hornets talk, you got me thinking about Kemba Walker, obviously Kyrie Irving out of town, Kemba Walker in, Al Horford gone. We're hearing news that Jason Tatum, who's still somehow only 17 years old and in his rookie year, going to kind of clean up the efficiency, not try to be Kobe Bryant anymore. What are your general thoughts on what to expect from the Celtics? Because for me, they're somewhat of a wild card.
Yeah, so it really starts with Kemba Walker, right? This guy is the number one guy in two of the last three seasons in pick and roll, ball handler possessions. And the Celtics are usually in the back end of that because they just kind of run everything. So that's something to for sure watch, especially if they're not going to start Cantor, which sounds like that's ruled out right now. It sounds like it's going to be either Daniel Theis or Robert Williams. Even Grant Williams may get some minutes at the five. But, yeah, I still think Kemba's going to be really good. I mean, we saw Kyrie really kind of show more than he had with the Celtics. His minutes may come down a little bit because we know Brad Stevens likes to mix it up and keep his guys in check and really avoid those 37-minute games if he can.
Right.
So, but still, I think Kemba's going to be efficient enough. I think he's going to be able to assist enough and do everything to be at least close to where he was. And I think he's going to be fine. I don't like him as much as, like, the Trays and – those other dudes, but I still think when he's going to be in the, you know, low eights, he'll probably be worth playing, especially in the right matchup. Then after that, there's some trade talk too. There's a little bit of buzz of a possible Jaylen Brown and Domantas Sabonis trade possibly going down, which we don't know if that's going to happen, but that would be kind of work for both teams, right? They could use a little bit more of a reliable five man. But yeah, I think Tatum's going to be really good. I am buying this whole like efficiency thing with him shooting the ball better, and it shows in the shot charts for preseason. Like, he's definitely better in shot selection. So, yeah, I think he takes a step forward this year. And then Gordon Hayward also was really, really efficient after the break last year. He could be better. A lot of people are saying he's impossible to cover in training camp, so he could be real sneaky. This team's not too deep. They have, like, you know, they're deep, like, to the second unit, and then it's kind of empty after that. So, yeah, I do like a lot of the Celtics. I think they'll get it figured out pretty quick. They're probably the very heavy favorite for the number three seed.
Yeah, I think a lot of hungry players on the Celtics, Jaylen Brown and Tatum, and Gordon Hayward trying to come back from that injury, Kemba Walker trying to prove he's a winner with a new team. So that'll be a fun team to watch early on. And definitely, I think just in general, got to watch a lot of basketball, especially with all the player movement these days and trying to figure out different roles. You can find a lot of it in the numbers, of course, as I like to do, but watching the NBA, there's no substitute for that either. That will wrap us up for our kind of top, ended up being what, 15 or so interesting.
We can talk about Trae Young if you want to. I love Trae Young. He's going to have a huge season. I have him, I think, ranked 9th in points league rankings.
Yeah, I love him. I mean, it's going to be the Trae Young show in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, big pace games, big high scoring games, bad defenses. So, yeah, I have him higher than Drew for points leagues, for DFS points per game. So, I think Trae is probably some guy I should have put on my list as well. Even the Pacers, too. I think the Pacers offense would be better. I like them, too. But
We could
talk for, like, 10 hours, man.
I'm with you. I can tell you're excited for the NBA season. I'm right with you there.
Julius Randle, RJ Barrett looked insane last night. So, I'd probably plug him in your lineup in his opener. I think he's going to have a really hot start. I'm kind of buying RJ Barrett real quick.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I love it. So yeah, make sure you guys are following Michael S. Gallagher on Twitter. You'll get a bunch of information. Check out RotoWorld, of course, who has some of the best blurbs out there, all the information that you need for season long and helping with DFS as well. Make sure to sign up for the NBA DFS package on elitefantasy.com. You'll see me there doing live shows 4 or 5 days a week as we get ready for the NBA DFS season. Big thank you to Michael for joining us today. Hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. That will do it for us. He's Michael Gallagher. I'm Peter Christensen. You may know me as Draft Cheat. And yeah, we'll get you back sometime, hopefully during the season, Michael, to talk some more hoops. Thank you for joining us. And thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll check you next time.